Благодать вам и мир от Бога Отца и Спасителя Господа нашего Иисуса Христа. Амин. Since I didn't hear a Russian accented amen out there, let's do that again in English. Great peace, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Since our Lord was born in a lonely stable some 2,000 years ago, the question has often been posed, just who is this Jesus? As it was back in those days, so it is today. On a macro level, a world in turmoil, warfare, and on a more personal micro level, people caught up in all the problems and difficulties in their lives, sinful lives. The question is often broached, who is Jesus? As you can see in our gospel lesson today, many of the Jews were asking the same question, who are you? They ask questions about Jesus' teaching. They ask questions about his origin. And the conversation, or more likely, the accusations that came his way were about the subject of Abraham. It always seems to come up. Jesus made it clear. In fact, he said that if you keep my word, you will not face death. But they said, Abraham, our great father Abraham actually died. What makes you so different from him? And we know how highly they held Abraham in esteem. Pilgrimages would be made to Abraham's tomb there in Hebron. People would actually consider to take his good works. In fact, in the medieval times, there was something called the Treasury of Saints, and the church said that we hold all the good works and deeds of the saints, and we'll give them out to you for a price, for indulgences. Something like that actually existed back in Abraham's time. His good works could be handed out to people themselves. So Jesus' reply is very striking. Before Abraham was, I am. Now the fact that they actually picked up stones and were ready to throw them at Jesus, that tells us something right off the bat. They knew what Jesus was saying. Not only was he saying that I existed before Abraham, and imagine what that entailed, he came out and said, I am. He used the phrase that God the Father, Yahweh, used when Moses asked him, who should I say is sending me? And God said, tell them I am has sent you, the timeless, eternal, almighty God. That is who Jesus is. At the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, we exist so that people can understand a little bit more about who Jesus is. Our proof text comes from the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. When Philip asked him as he was reading Isaiah, do you know what you're reading? The eunuch said, how can I unless someone guides me, unless someone leads me? And that is what we have been doing for the last 23 years. We translate, publish, distribute, and introduce Christian books of a Lutheran conviction, now actually in up to 100 languages. But we began in the language I started with you there, the language of my grandparents. We began in Russia, just the former Soviet Union. With the fall of the Soviet Union, we had the opportunity to go back in there and help restore the Lutheran witness to the Russian people, the witness that my ancestors had heard so many years ago, all answering that question, who is Jesus? Today, for example, we are now actually returning to the land of the Reformation. We're returning to Eastern Germany, and we're working with disillusioned Iranians who have fled for refuge. In 2009, many of these Iranians had hoped to change their land politically. They were Muslim, but they didn't really believe that the Islamic Republic was serving their needs, and so they began to peacefully come onto the streets and protest. They hoped to change their country politically, but they were beaten. They were tear gassed. They were imprisoned, and in some instances, they were actually killed. They left with the clothes on their back, bitterly disappointed, and many of them landed in Eastern Germany, the land of the Reformation, feeling alone, feeling abandoned by God. After all, imagine here you are, a person of some substance, because most of these people were teachers, lawyers, doctors, among the educated elite. And here, you're in a foreign land. You don't know the language. You're restricted to a 20-mile radius. You can't travel beyond that because you're waiting for a green card. And while you're trying to somehow adjust to this new land, people are looking at you and wondering who these strange foreigners, dark-skinned foreigners, are in their land of Eastern Germany. And these people felt lost. But the Lutherans of the independent German Lutheran Church of Germany had compassion on them. They fed them. They gave them drink when they were thirsty. They helped them with green cards. And most importantly, they showed them the unconditional love of Christ. Showed that kind of love to people who were strangers. And as they began to minister to the least of these, my brethren, an amazing thing started to happen. People began to come into the church. First it started in a trickle, and then it became a flood. When I talked to my friend Pastor Gottfried Martens in Berlin last year, about a year ago, in December, he told me an amazing story. He said, you know, in January 2013, I took two Iranians through the Bible, through the catechism, explained to them the Christian faith, and then I baptized them. And then more came. And more came. And when I visited him in mid-December of 2013, he had 17 baptisms that morning. He said, I have 15 more next week. That will be over 300 for this year. His was this small, graying congregation of 80 Lutherans in South Berlin. Within the past year, 40% of all baptisms in our partner church in Germany have been baptisms of Iranians. What is happening? The Savior of the nations is coming. And he comes through a church that lives out his word, a church that shows people who Jesus is by their lives, by their love, and by their witness. And so now we begin to work with them, translating children's Bible story books, as you saw this morning, catechisms, devotional booklets, working with these people who never knew who Jesus was until political turmoil came into their lives. And now they have the opportunity to learn more about him. As we watch the news today, I think it's logical to become frightened as we see ISIS and as we see radical Islam on the march. And I am here to tell you that that is not a lie. It is happening. It is happening throughout the world, Middle East, Africa. Radical Islam is on the march. But what we don't hear is we don't hear that many Muslims are disillusioned by what they see. They say, that can't be us. And if that is us, what does that say about Islam? Many of these Muslims are beginning to take a second look at Jesus the prophet, because they only know him as Jesus the prophet. My good friend Muhammad was one of those persons. He grew up in Somalia, war-torn Somalia. Perhaps you've kind of gotten glimpses of these through movies the past few years, Black Hawk Down, which illustrated the military debacle there and the American soldiers who were killed. Or Tom Hanks' movie, Captain Phillips, a few years ago, that showed the work and the scope of these Somalian warlords off the coast of Somalia who try to capture vessels and hold them for ransom. Muhammad grew up in this atmosphere, and he grew up a faithful Muslim, searching the Quran for answers. And he told us an amazing thing happened as he began to search the Quran. He found Jesus. He read that Jesus was the Word of God, but he couldn't understand. What does that mean? And then he read that Jesus had a sinless life. What does that mean? And what does that entail? In fact, if Jesus is sinless, and if Jesus is the Word of God, why are we following my namesake, Muhammad? Why aren't we following Jesus? He began to ask those questions in his mosque, and quickly the mullah began to shush him and say, you're not supposed to ask questions like that. You're supposed to simply obey. But Muhammad was a seeker, and he got a hold of a New Testament, and he began to read. And the Holy Spirit opened his heart and his mind, and he began to realize, as we did this morning, that Jesus, the I Am, the great I Am, was there at the creation of the world, that he is God Almighty. And his sinless life as both God and man is enough to free us from that sin through faith in him. As he began to learn these things, he couldn't keep it to himself. Like Jeremiah, it was like a fire inside him, and he tried to share it with other people. because they were asking the same questions as he was. He set up a website so that Somalians could learn more about Jesus. And as he began to do this, the persecution began. His wife took 4 of their 7 children and left him and said she could not remain married to a Christian. His sister and brother-in-law, after initially rejecting the message, became strong believers. And on the streets of Mogadishu one day, they were accosted by radical Muslims who told them that they could no longer speak the name of Jesus. When they refused, they were murdered in the streets, right in front of their children. Their daughter to this day remembers looking through the peephole because they told anyone who picks up those bodies the same thing would happen to them, so they lay in the streets for 3 days. This is what it's like for people who try to find out who Jesus is in many parts of the world today. For Muhammad, the Islamic Sharia court of Somalia issued a fatwa, a death sentence. And let me read it for you because I think you'll gain an insight into the price that some people pay today for carrying out the Great Commission of Jesus. It says, "We hereby are informing all the above-mentioned Allah-fearing devout Muslims that this Thursday, the Union of Islamic Courts in Somalia sentenced to death by shooting, while he is absent from the country, the infidel apostate who abandoned Islam, after witnesses stated that he propagated Christianity among the Somali people, that he intentionally insulted Islam and the Holy Prophet, whose name is," and then they mention his name. And the fatwa concludes this way: "The court is appealing to all Muslim Somali people to capture and bring or kill the above-mentioned man wherever they may find him. Whoever carries out this decision, Allah will bless with paradise, and we will give financial reward. Peace be with you." Really, that's actually how it ends. After calling for the cold-blooded murder of this man, we hear the irenic and ironic refrain, "Peace be with you." And then the imam's name is given. How contradictory that peace sounds when it's contrasted with one who will put his life on the line to proclaim the message of Christ. Muhammad has been translating books for us. I'll be meeting him in a couple of weeks in Ethiopia because he is studying actually somewhere in Europe, but he hopes to return to the borderlands of his country on Ethiopia-Somalia border. And there he hopes to build a Lutheran church and continue to do his outreach among Somali people. Many people are really, truly seeking to find the answer to that question today. Just who is Jesus? And in response, Christ is binding up the wounds of those who suffer. For those who suffer from a system of Sharia law that demands more obedience than any sinful human being can give. Many Muslims are coming to realize that Jesus is more than a prophet. That he is indeed the great I am. And our call is indeed to help get those books and that Christian literature into their hands so that they may know and so that they may speak to other people. That is why our foundation exists, so that people, just as in Jesus' day, will find out who the one is who sacrificed his life for all people, for you, for me, and for that woman in the burqa. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.